I guess another question is, if you could avoid tax, would you? Charlie Wolfe, the broadcaster, with us this morning again, the journalist Kevin McGuire. Good morning to you, Kevin.
Good morning.
Morning, morning, Charlie.
Good morning. Good morning. Kevin was going to be here.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So Kevin, why shouldn't everybody try to minimise their tax bill to the nth degree? Why not?
Not everybody can use tax havens. You've got to be incredibly rich to do so, and a lot of people don't. I remember J.K. Rowling, fabulously rich as the successful Harry Potter author. As she said, you could organise your life around your money or your money around your life. And she's decided to stay on shore, pay her taxes, because she believes in the health service and the welfare state and education, helping single parents and the disabled and so on. And those who use tax havens use a ruse which shouldn't exist. Some of the behaviour uncovered will be illegal. I understand a lot of it isn't. We can criticise.
Obviously, we're not talking about any cases we've been talking about this morning.
No.
This is a broad discussion you're having.
Absolutely. But some of it will prove to be illegal, because tax havens allow people, the super rich, the global super rich, who move money around freely, don't play by the rules everybody else does, allows them to move their money around without any transparency. And in some cases, those tax havens will be full of dirty money that has been laundered.
And to remind you, that, and let's put a big brick wall now up between what we've been talking about this morning, which is tax avoidance, which is completely legal, and there is no suggestion of any illegality whatsoever on the part of Sam Mouldings. What Kevin is doing is having a broader discussion now about tax avoidance throughout the world, actually. And this is an ethical conversation, Charlie. And Kevin's saying, look, if you want your hospitals to be good, if you want your roads to be good, then don't avoid paying tax.
Well, you know, the thing is, they do. They pay a heck of a lot of tax. I'm just looking at the figures now. Right now, GDP, percentage of tax that is taken up from GDP, is something like 40%. So of the entire, stuff that we produce here in the country, 40% of that is going to the government. And of that, the top 1% are paying something like, let me see if I can find the figure here, about 28%. Overall, the top 10% are paying 58% of all the tax revenues on income tax. So I think they're paying their more than their fair share. As a matter of fact, most of them probably don't use the health service. So, they're paying for the rest of us to use it, and we're sitting there screaming at them. This is just basic Adam Smith.
Kevin?
Adam Smith said the tax, first of all, let me say something. I agree, taxes are moral, all right? Paying tax is the moral. It's a moral obligation, but where I differ, and this is where I differ from Bishop Boyle over the weekend on 5 Live, is telling someone how much they owe is not some sort of a moral consideration. It is based on the law. And as long as my accountant says it's good to go, I'm going to go, and I take his advice, and I got a good accountant who's very conservative. He says it's good, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to take everything I can get, because that will then be my fair share.
Kevin?
And I should not have to pay more.
Yeah, the Inland Revenue have had successfully closed down through the courts many schemes that accountants have claimed are good to go when you find out they're not. And it stinks when you have a Grand Prix champion buying a plane, then giving it to one of his own companies, and effectively leasing it back to himself to avoid VAT. That might be legal, it might be illegal, because it is going to be challenged, because it sounds rather artificial. The figure of 28% of income tax being paid by the top 1% is a sign of deep inequality in our country, when a small rich takes a far larger share of the national wealth. And people graft hard, and you look at the figures that have come out. Apple Computers, a hugely profitable global corporation, makes phones and iPads and laptops that are absolutely terrific, but it's driven to reduce its tax bill, and it is paying a tax rate that is less than a cleaner. Now, that cannot be right.
Let me bring in, just in the context of what you've both been discussing this morning, I want to bring in Edward and Lorne. Good morning to you, Edward.
Good morning to you, Stephen. Good morning to you.
Good morning. And in the context, so let's come back then to the story we broke today of a Northern Ireland company sending money to Mauritius and then loaning it back to create a tax-free UK income stream. What are your thoughts, Edward? You're a pensioner.
Well, Well, I think it seems to be, as was said earlier, there's a loophole in the system. But they're doing nothing wrong, but yet they're getting away with it. And I'm a pensioner, and I want to give you some figures off my head. And I'm being, I receive £147 all but one pence a week per week. And from my full state pension, which should be, it should be approximately £44 on top of that. I'm being deducted by £44 and some pence. I don't have the figures in front of me, but I can quote it. £44 a week that I'm paying to the Treasury because I have savings in the bank.
So you're having money taken away from your pension?
Because of my savings, which I have declared.
Yeah.
And these people seem to be, they have, this is all savings they have, and yet they're getting away with it.
Stephen, may I make a suggestion?
And hold on, Charlie. And Edward, how does it feel to you when you've heard this story this morning? How does it make you feel?
It makes me feel that there's a great injustice here. That I'm being penalised. I mean, I'm receiving that £147 a week, all but one pence. And these people are—they're dealing with big figures, and yet the government comes down on me, but yet these people get away with it.
Well, you don't know how HMRC are going to react now that they maybe have more detail. And look, it's very possible that HMRC will look at this case and will say that Sam Mouldings do not owe any additional tax. You heard the tax barrister, Mark, I've forgotten Mark's name, Mark Orr, this morning saying he would not like to be defending Sam Moulding's case in a tax tribunal. Mm-hmm. So
I was thinking there, but I was thinking also about InvestNA. For my money, I don't know where my money's going to. But I mean, I've worked hard all my life. I have over 40 years of work under my belt, and I've worked hard. And I was saying to your colleague earlier on, Margaret Thatcher, whenever she was in government, and encouraged me and other people to buy our own homes, which I did, and save money. And yet that today has been used against me.
Well, why did you bring up InvestNI?
Because I mean, the revenue, they get revenue from us, don't they?
They do.
I'm a payer of that revenue.
Correct.
Whenever I was working, plus what's coming off me now, surely that revenue must go to, I don't know who, I don't know
that's right,
who.
That's right. So InvestNI, obviously, they're funded by the taxpayer.
Yep.
And InvestNI are continuing to fund Sam Mouldings. Maybe that's the right thing to do because Sam Mouldings are a viable business and they're adding to the Northern Ireland economy, but they're continuing to fund them. Yes, Edward, is the answer to your question.
Do you think
they should continue to fund them?
No, I couldn't say for sure. I don't know exactly. I don't know whether they've been funded from my pocket or not. But the point I would like to make is the government tells me how much I'm allowed to save, and after that the X comes down, right?
Yeah.
And I don't like this. But when other people who I pay for my medical, my medical things as far as my glasses and my dentist, etc., and so on and so forth, and yet somebody who has never paid anything, which I was encouraged to do this here, and yet I'm penalised for it, and somebody who never did it is getting...
Well, we don't know.
My money could be. I'm only saying could be. I don't say it is. Could be going to support people. You know, exactly.
Okay, Edward. Thank you very much indeed for your call today. Jim and Derry. It's going to be the last call of the day. Morning, Jim.
Hi, Stephen. It's just a quick point earlier that a few times callers have called in and went, "Are we trying to get the government to sort this out?" But we have no government. You know, someone that's constantly harping on about the assembly. They have no tax responsibilities in North. The Assembly doesn't have it. That's HMRC. And a couple of times you didn't pull them back. But also the Panorama show and all the multimillionaires who claimed on offshore accounts, they went after three comedians. Three comedians from the Mrs. Brown show. And all the people, the Bonos of this world and all the guys that's running around, the MBEs and OBEs and Sir this and Sir that, I didn't see them chasing after them. He hunted down a wee lassie walking across the street to BBC Scotland.
Well, actually, Richard Bilton Did you not see him going after Lord Ashcroft?
Did you miss that? The overall numbers of people. Lord Ashcroft has been going after a few times. That's two or three programmes he's been going after by Panorama. But what about all the rest? What about, of all the people that they could have went after, they went after three people. It just proves it, that irrespective of whatever happens, when you're the high and the mighty, you will get off it. And I'll just ask a question that you've asked on umpteen occasions today. Stephen, if you could do it, would you do it?
If you could do it, Jim, would you do it?
Oh, no, I couldn't, because I can't earn money. I'm unemployed.
Okay. Jim, thank you very much indeed for your call today.
Appreciate talking to you.
Thank you. So that's the first of our investigations into tax avoidance in Northern Ireland. You can get this programme again on the BBC iPlayer, and we will be back tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock with more revelations.